Attention, please. Places for top of show. Places for top of show. Hello, and welcome to Twins Talk Theater. We are Cindy.
And Stacy.
And we're talking about theater, backstage life, and all the excitement that the audience doesn't get to see.
Enjoy the show. Welcome to Twins Talk Theater. Today we are interviewing or talking to Tanya Apuya. She was a friend of mine from the University of Redlands and did theater there with her. And then since then, she's gone on to do all kinds of cool things around Southern California in the nerdy world and in the theater world. So welcome, Tanya, to the show.
This is pretty much what Stacy talks about. Stacy was like, yeah, but she just designs costumes and she does nerdy stuff. Don't you know who she is?
Oh, I don't fully expect anybody to know who I am. But the fact that Stacy knows who I am.
Stacy does. And Stacy's excited.
Exactly. Because you were in her universe for the last two fashion shows at San Diego Comic-Con, which was really cool. And they did like whole TV series kind of stuff and interviews. And then the University of Redlands has a magazine and you had like a feature article in that. And you worked at Musical Theater West. And I was like, ooh, man, that's way more exciting than what I've done.
Well, not exactly Music Theater West, actually 3D Theatricals.
Oh, 3D Theatricals. Yeah.
So the other one in Orange County.
Yeah, exactly.
So Tanya, tell us a little bit. So you said right before this that you haven't transitioned. Some people we've talked to, you know, started not in theater and transitioned, but you've been in theater pretty much your whole education career. So what led you to this career choice, this wonderful career choice that you have?
Well, I actually started doing theater in high school.
Yes, like us. Woo! Yeah,
I was an actor though, because that kind of just I acted because that's kind of
that's where most people start. Yeah.
No, and that's the only thing that was available. Like the teachers and stuff did the tech crap, and then I found out when I went to college that, hey, you know what? You don't have to be a theater. And actually, I kind of suck at acting, so I probably don't want to do that anymore. And I've always loved clothing and fashion and all that kind of stuff, too. And then I found out that I can, like, do that instead to actually being on stage. And, only time I actually did it was high school and then in college if someone desperately needed someone in their directing class or something like that.
Then you gave in and did it. But yeah. So did you start designing costumes at the University of Redlands or...?
Actually, funny enough, and I don't know if Stacy remembers this, but I actually did like a lot more tech, like I did costumes, but I actually did a lot more stage management in college than I did in
really?
Yeah. I think we worked on a show or two as a stage manager. Yeah.
I think it's because Dan liked me and the fact that there wasn't a lot of people who wanted to do it.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's still not a lot of people that want to stage manage.
I mean,
so this is very true.
What you guys do, because I just hate making lists and being in charge of that kind of stuff. So good job.
Your lists consist of what socks do you put on at what scene and what color shirt goes with what pants.
Still lists that I have to deal with, but like the amount of organization of people and like timelines and all that is way too much for me nowadays. I definitely have to do lots of organizing, but it's a very narrow field. It's mostly dealing with actors where they are in their clothing as opposed and, you know, to everybody else's job. It's what you guys do, and that's terrifying to me.
Excellent.
So you still do theater now, or do you?
I do a lot of theater still, but I also do like other random things. Like Stacy was saying, I do lots of random nerdy things. I do cosplay. I do custom costumes for friends and other people who want to pay me for that. I do every once in a while, like I'll sell costumes and all that stuff, but mostly theater. And I do like some film and TV work for like small stuff or the company that I work for. We'll get hired to make this one tiny little thing or alter something for some crazy movie that you never see on screen. So,
but you can still say you did it and you worked on it.
Exactly.
So what companies are you with right now? Or are you on a project right now or?
Actually currently not on a project, but through my company, the Costume House, we just finished building Ain't Misbehaving for La Mirada Theater.
Oh, cool.
I'm getting ready to work wardrobe for 3DT Theatricals. They're doing Young Frankenstein in October.
Yeah, I just saw that cast list go up a couple days ago.
It should be fun. What else? I also work for a community theater in Simi Valley, the arts, which I always forget what it stands for, but they usually call it arts. I also work for a bunch of other small things that people want to like hire me for. I've worked for Sierra Madre Playhouse. I've worked for Crown City Theater in North Hollywood. I've worked for, and like that's design and wardrobe job. So
you run the shows as well?
Yeah, sometimes it depends on what they want me to do and what they want to pay me, basically.
Right. So, very true.
A wardrobe job, which is what I usually do with 3DT. I'm like on the wardrobe team, so we're in the wings doing quick changes, all dressed in black like everyone else. But then for smaller stuff, I'll do the costume design where I like shop, like build, like do all that kind of stuff and create the characters. Dress them for tech and do all that stuff for that and then leave.
Yeah, that's what I like to do. Cindy stays through all that. I'm like, yep, it's opening night. I'm done.
Yeah, so it's like, it depends. I feel like I like both because I love being able to be in control and like be the like, yeah, this should look like that and that should like that and like helping the actors create characters. But at the time when you're the designer, you go for like this limited amount of time, you go through their fittings and then you leave. But what I miss sometimes, what I love about 3DT working wardrobe is that you get to be backstage with everyone and you get that whole like theater camaraderie thing, which you don't
always
get as a designer, which I love too. So there's that.
Right. I feel as a designer, when you just like come and go, you don't really get to feel part of the company or part of the show. Because you're gone so quickly. And I feel like so much bonding happens really once you open, because that's the time that you actually have time to go hang out with everybody afterwards. You know, during tech and stuff, you're so busy that you're like, do you want to get drinks? No, I just want to go to bed.
Oh, I just want to sleep. But I'll see you.
Just want to sleep. Exactly. But then once the show's open, you're like, oh, I actually have time to hang out with you guys and see what's going on and get to know everybody.
Yeah, and once everyone kind of gets relaxed into the show, then that's when like hijinks ensue, and you actually get to like talk to them. You're not stressed about making your next quick change,
right?
You actually get to know the people, which I like.
And you took a lot of great pictures backstage during. 3D just did Spamalot. Like every day, there was a bunch of backstage pictures of what the crew was wearing and pictures from the wings, and I thought that was excellent. I try to take those sometimes, but I'm not usually around during shows, so I'm like, and pictures of the wing during tech and opening. Done.
Yeah. Well, yeah, usually people just get like the fancy pretty ones, which are great, because then when you're a designer, you want to see what that looks like. But people are like, what the hell are you doing? And granted, from my pictures, you can't really see what we're doing. From the videos, you can see what we're doing in our like 5 second or 30 second quick changes or whatever in the like semi-dark.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have one of those headlights or the mouth lights? Because I know a lot of wardrobe that like stick it in their mouth and then they can see.
I hate those like mouth lights. It always just makes me feel like gagging and just not cool. But I do have one. And I have a headlight that I also use too. So I have we have various lights, I feel like, depending on how you feel. I actually have one that sits around your neck that like has a, it's on like a rubber, like it moves kind of like a book light, but it sits on your neck.
That's cool. I don't know if I've seen that one.
That's pretty cool, actually. I stole the idea from another dresser. She works at La Mirada a lot. She's like, yeah, I have this. I'm like, I want one of those.
I want to do that. So I have a question about, do you have a preference or can you do both? Because I know in huge companies that there's people who like just do the shopping or there's people that just do sewing. Do you have a preference? Like, would you rather build a brand new costume or would you rather shop for it? Or do you not really care? Are you fine?
I feel like a costume designer's perspective, I feel like it depends on the show. Mm-hmm. There's definitely shows where you have to build it because it has to do some sort of thing, like say Cinderella,
right?
Really, because I just did that. I don't know. I feel like I just did that, but that was probably months ago. For a high school that my boss did. Because I've been like working. I mostly work in a workroom and I build a bunch of stuff, but I also work backstage and all that kind of stuff. So we are trying to figure out the transformation. You have to.
Right.
make that peasant like outfit turn into a ball gown. So in that sense, yes, you have to build it. But like for things like, say, spelling bee, because I know Stacey just did it and I did it too at See Me, that stuff you can buy. And if you can buy it, it's cheaper and it's more cost effective and it makes everyone's life easier. You can buy it, but the beauty of that is like, and then after that, you customize it to the character. And from that, I feel like it dictates a little differently. I don't know. In general, yeah. I don't know. It depends on what it is, I think. I do generally like shopping because mostly then I don't have to make stuff from scratch because it's fast.
True, it is faster.
I'm like, if I like want or have to build something, I actually really like that too because I feel like it's more of an, I don't know about accomplishment, but it's more like, I don't know. It looks like it fits them better, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. So for Cinderella, did you build it all from scratch or do you like take a dress and then alter it? Or that's probably more work to alter it because you have to do so much to it.
Well, it depends. For this production, we built everything. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't the designer. I just was one of the stitchers. But I feel like it can be done both ways, depending on what you want, like what kind of transformation you want. Mm-hmm. Sorry, my cat is needing attention.
Oh, Cindy has a cat who needs attention. I have a dog who needs attention. So,
yep.
I left him in Brooklyn, though. So my cat's not making noise. Your dog, however, I hear walking around on the floor.
I know.
Yep. That's him.
I'm going to buy him little socks for Christmas.
Oh, he's going to love that.
I know. I'm his favorite. So for people who are listening who don't necessarily know about theater or backstage, can you just describe, you've said a couple words which Stacey and I know, but just describe a little bit about what that is, like stitcher and work in a shop, you know, just a little bit about what the difference is between all those, because I'm pretty sure most people don't have any idea what goes into actually costuming a show or the difference between all the different buying job. Versus shopping versus building versus all that stuff.
Okay, so in general, there's the whole like costume department, and from the top, it's the costume designer. Their job is to essentially dictate what the show looks like, and they're the ones who usually do sketches if they're that kind of person, which I'll do sometimes if it really calls for it. Otherwise, I don't really like drawing. and then there's like usually like a workroom foreman, which is in like a big room where there's a bunch of machines and that, or even just in your living room.
Right. That's where my costumes get
sometimes
from.
That happens too. In the workroom is where like the costumes are made or built, like with what we usually call it. Like we say they're built. Like a machine. my job at the costume house, right now I'm the workroom supervisor, I suppose. So when a show wants to come in and use the shop, I'm the person who's like, all right, the designer will give you a sketch of what this dress or costume or whatever is going to look like. And I'm the one who's like, all right, pattern this out, cut it out of the pattern of the fabric that you give me and the measurements that you give me from the actors. And from there, I'll hand it to a stitcher. And the stitcher is the person who actually like uses the machine to stitch it together. I theoretically have done all of these jobs in various theaters, depending right. on what scale of the theater is and what they want me to do. And then there's the whole other side. So once the costumes are built and everything's been fit and altered and all that kind of fun stuff, and they're ready to go to the theater, at the theater, there's someone who runs the show. That's the person who's like the wardrobe mistress or wardrobe supervisor or some other title like that, and they're responsible for making sure that the right costumes go on all of the actors correctly the way that the designer wants them to, in the right place, in the right scene, in the right way, with everything zipped up the way it's supposed to.
Which sounds easy, but I've seen so many actors go on stage and like, you didn't zip up your pants, you wore that shirt with those pants.
It sounds easy because we all put clothes on, but when you're wearing, like, say, I don't know, 17th century, like, with, like, 12 layers of undergarments plus
right.
an epic gown, you need your dressers, which is the next step down from the wardrobe supervisor. The dressers are the ones who are literally helping you get dressed. They're in the wings. If you have a quick change, heavy show, which usually means that the person has to go from one costume to another in usually less than a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, give or take, like 5 minutes, anything under 5 minutes, you need someone to help you get dressed. And while that sounds easy, once you see one, you'll be very impressed. Because like, say, I just did Spamalot. In Spamalot, there is way too many quick changes to even count. There are only about, I want to say 20, at most 28 actors. But they play all of the parts. And in one song alone, Camelot, you know, when all the knights are like, let's go to Camelot, and there's a whole Vegas number. I want to say out of the whole cast, there's a bunch of changes within that song alone. I want to say there's only like 18 changes within that song alone.
In one like 3 minute number.
Yeah. In 1 3 minute number. like from the beginning of the song, there's these two showgirls that have these epic turret costumes. That's like a headpiece with these like that lights up and this bodysuit. And they get out of that and into a whole nother like showgirl outfit, including tights and shoes and underwear and all that crazy stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. That one requires three people. So two dressers and a wig person.
Yeah. I was just going to say that you have to work really closely sometimes with like hair and makeup, because yeah, what they do involves what you guys do, and you need to coordinate who's doing what when. I know there's some really, the one that I remember the most right now is, was it during the Tonys last year, the epic scene, costume change for The King and I, and they actually recorded it backstage.
Oh,
and
yeah, it was like, that was cool.
25 seconds or something like that. I always love those.
And my favorite,
yeah,
changes are always like you can watch in professionals do it quick. Like everyone's like, oh my God, why are you not stressed? I'm like, no, because it's easy after you do it a while. The calm ones that is like genius. The one that my favorite, I think it's, I forget what opera house, it's for the magic flute. Where they go from, I think it's magic, but I don't remember. Like they go from, it's the chorus too. And it's usually the chorus you're following around as opposed to the leads. Although some of them have pretty fast changes too, depending on what it is. But because the chorus plays everybody, these men go from these blue faced robe kind of.
Yes, yeah. I watched that video.
I know, it's like, you have to have seen it because it's like quick change porn for me. Like, me and a few of my dresser friends, we're like, did you see this? This is awesome. I know, I watched it like three times. How many dresses do they have? This is so good.
Because they have a whole area backstage, yeah, and they have to get out of makeup and they need to get an entirely new outfit. And like,
and there's at least like 15 of them, and there's like just as many, if not twice as many, dressers and makeup people. And I was like, oh my God, this is like a dream. This is what like big theaters have. We were lucky for 3DT to have three dressers amongst all of those people. And that's a lot for us. When on Broadway.
Yeah, I think the most I've had is two dressers.
Yeah. That's usually the case around here. In Broadway, I found out that apparently for like typically you have one per lead and then two per chorus number, like minimum.
Wow.
Everything. And I went, how do they have that all backstage?
Yeah, where do they fit all those people?
I can tell you it's tight. you change in like really special locations. When I did Anna Nicole, which was at the last New York City Opera, the last New York City Opera, but it was the last show that they did, had huge chorus changes all the time. And even Anna Nicole changed all the time. And I was in charge of the three children that were in that show. But even with the children, we had to be really specific on like when we were able to cross the stage and when we were able to go to places, because there were always these massive costume changes right before we entered. And so the first day that we were actually doing costumes, we had never done it before. So I took the kids and we were like walking from stage right to stage left, because I was like, okay, we have to go over here next. And we almost got run over because there were like four people changing, and they each had two people with them in order to change them, because it was a full on, like, take your makeup off, take your wig off, take all your clothes off, put everything back on, put new makeup on, and get back out on stage in like 30 seconds. So for those four people, it took it probably was one wardrobe and one wig and makeup person each, you know, to get them on and off stage. So I had to like hold the kids' hands and like have our backs pressed up against the wall and like all squished really close together so that they can do their entire costume change and get back out on stage. So
yeah, it's pretty impressive what like the ingenuity that we're like, look, there's this one corner. We can totally change here.
But yeah, that's like, exactly what it is.
Yeah.
You're like, just drop everything and go. And there's, you have to be not modest.
You can't be modest in shows or quick changes or anything backstage because you just kind of run off stage and drop everything and strip and change and run back on stage.
Yeah, but which is why, like, when high schools do crazy shows, I always find it very impressive. But I find the standard is just to wear nude leotards underneath everything.
Yeah, when I work a lot with a conservatory, the education department at the Norris Theater, and it's a constant, because the kids are under 18, they can't dress guys and girls together. If there's mm-hmm. one kid over 18, they have to be in a completely different dressing room. They can't do quick changes backstage without a block. Everybody has to wear nude leotards and undergarments and everything like that because the crew is all over 18, so it would not be appropriate for that. So it's a very different, you still have to do a quick change because that's the way the show goes, but you have to set it up differently.
Yeah. It's just a little more frustrating, but it's like understandable at the same time. I'm also sometimes of the mind, I'm like, okay, but these kids kind of have to learn that if they want to continue doing this as a job.
Yeah.
I think most of them figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes with theater, you just kind of get used to people seeing people in their underwear.
That, yeah, it's true.
It doesn't even faze me. People are like, oh, you've seen them naked? I was like, yeah, I guess. I think so. I mean, I wasn't really paying attention. I had other things to do.
I don't even pay attention anymore because I'm so used to like calling places. So I'll walk around and call places and check on singers. And so like I'll automatically knock on their door and then just walk in. And half the time I'm like, oh yeah, sorry, I should have checked. Yeah, okay, you guys are all fine. Whatever. 5 minutes. Okay, bye.
Well, they're not dressed by 5 minutes. I feel like there's...
Well, okay, yeah, true. No, because it's a good point. But I just knock and walk in, and I don't even, like, wait for them to answer. And I don't even realize it until I walk in on them sometimes, and they're, like, all standing there half naked. And I was like, yep, sorry. Not really sorry.
They actually walk knock the door in, like, wardrobe, and they're usually, like, fine, no matter whether they're dressed or not.
No matter what, right.
Us seeing them naked, because we're literally the ones helping them get naked and then dressed again. So...
Right. I think I'm just so used to it now that I don't even, doesn't even faze me anymore. Because I'm not looking. I'm like looking at your faces. Like, are all 7 of you here? Great. Moving on. That's all I care about.
Usually I'm like, you can't do that quick change here. I got to move that set piece. You just hung your clothes on. You have to go somewhere else. Sorry.
No getting naked here. Okay. So then the other thing we want to talk about is cosplay. Like, what got you interested in that? Like, how do you even get into where you are in cosplay?
Oh. Gosh, I don't even remember how I got into this. I think.
It's sorry, I didn't mean to ask you a trick question.
Like, I didn't think it was a hard one either, honestly. I think it's just because the costume shop I work at also rents to the public, and we do like a really big kind of thing for Halloween and like all that kind of stuff. It's kind of natural, and being in costumes, it's natural for us to just kind of enjoy being in costume, whether or not, like, I love dressing up and all that kind of stuff, but I don't want to be on stage, but you can take a picture of me, that's totally fine. I'm never cosplayers that are like in character and all that stuff. I'm like, nope, just I made something pretty, take a picture.
Yeah, that's what I do. My husband's like, you gotta be in character. I was like, I'm not good at scowling as a Jedi or a dark Jedi. I'm just gonna smile at you.
See, I'm on board with the whole taking picture, like, you know, take facial like stance, all like pictures in character, but the people who like go all out and act and everything and do voices and have sayings, I'm like, kudos to them. I did not get into this to be an actor. I got into this because I thoroughly love this,
because I make pretty things,
this outfit, and I really wanted to make this super cool kind of thing. And, you know, and I think I partly blame my friend Haley Keim, who also actually went to Redlands. She was an actor in the theater department and ended up being a graphic designer for film and television. She's awesome. But like, we often like to cosplay and dress up together. And our like fun thing to do would be like do big group cosplays. So we would end up like doing a whole bunch of big. Our first big one was Doctor Who, which we would very, which we're very proud to admit that we did before everyone was obsessed with. Very hipster of us, but we're like, no, we
you started it. Yeah.
Again, because of Redlands, because we took designing for Doctor Who class through a May term that Pierce Britton taught in the art department, which was
I think I took one class, or I started taking a class with Pierce Britton. It was an art history class or something, and then I traded out for like set design.
But yeah,
that would have been super cool.
Yeah, well, so to be fair, Pierce's art classes were really super hard, and he had that reputation of being like, you know, very British and drink tea and like, you know, like had stupid hard classes for his, all his art history classes. But once you took his Doctor Who class, those ones were awesome. You basically took, he gave you a script for the semester, or rather the month, because it was May term. And you would have to like design costumes for this specific doctor. And he always picked the eighth one because not a lot of people, there's only that movie. There wasn't like a lot of preconceived notions about him. And then you would like design the costumes for that episode. And it was just kind of a lot of fun. And that is where you find out how Pierce really is and like how fun his class can be. He was still super hard on you, but it was a lot more fun. It was the kind of like hard that I appreciate.
That is excellent. So that would be, I am sad I missed
that. That you could say is like your first cosplay experience was...
Actually, that was our first big one, but our first cosplay, and I feel like I have a picture of this, was me, Haley, and my brother. We did from Firefly. Me and my brother were River and Simon Tam because we thought it was fun.
That's so awesome. We should ask our, we should try to get our brother to do this with us.
Yeah, he will not.
But yeah, then we did that, and then. And that was the first time we went to Comic-Con. I think that's how we're like, people dress up to this. We have to dress up. And I think that's how we got into it.
Yeah, we went to Comic-Con. I think I brought my mom the first like one or two years. And then we got my brother. And then we got Cindy. And then it branched out. And we went like 4 or 5 years, but we never dressed up. Well, we had cloaks and nerdy outfit, like nerdy common outfits, you know, shirts and all. And then when I met now my husband, Kai, he was a cosplayer before I even met him. And so we've cosplayed two different sets of Star Wars. We did one for him for Korra. And then for our wedding, it's not really cosplay, I guess, but our wedding was steampunk themed. So then the next year at Comic-Con, we wore our steampunk wedding outfits.
Which I love those outfits, by the way. They're awesome.
Thank you.
That wedding is still my wallpaper on my computer. So everyone's like, what is that? And I'm like, it's my sister's wedding. Duh.
You guys don't dress in outfits?
You don't dress up for your wedding? I don't understand. So do you have like one cosplay that you're super proud of?
I feel like it depends. My favorite cosplays often are the ones that I get all of my friends to like look really badass in, like as far as cosplays go, because like, the Doctor Who one was awesome because it's the first time we really got to do it. The last one was pretty damn badass because we did, you guys know the show Legion? It's on like FX. It's like a X-Men branch off. Yeah, totally recommend. But this last Comic-Con, me and my friends, which my also favorite thing is to do cosplays where I don't have to wear a wig because they're so annoying. My boyfriend were watching the show and I went, oh my God, there's a part in this show for all every single one of my friends that like cosplays together. There's like, that has your hair, that has your hair, and that has your, and they all happen to be awesome characters.
So. And they're all based around no wigs to make this happen.
Yeah. As far as my favorite like dresses that I made, it's probably the Her Universe dresses, because those are the ones that, as far as tech and design and all that kind of fun stuff, like those are the ones I'm most proud of.
But the one you did, not this current last year, but the year before that, with the Harry Potter themed one with the books and all, is amazing. Like, just so many different layers. And I think I read or saw that you had the material, like, made with the actual words and stuff on it or something.
Yeah. It was, I think, when I designed, like, I got talked into doing the competition, which is in Comic-Con every year. This is their fourth year that I did it last. And, it's like geek couture inspired by all geeked out. Anything you can celebrate at Comic-Con, you can, it's, that's what people are inspired by. And I designed it after reading and stories, just in general. And that's kind of the idea kind of stemmed from. Like, made it more Harry Potter. I wanted it to be more like, you know, this is like a very kind of specific, kind of like, almost like gateway drug that a lot of people had for reading.
And for nerddom, yeah.
For nerddom, it was kind of like an easy in, and it was a big kind of thing about in my life, too. And actually what I had to do, because one of the techniques that is not used at all anymore, and I don't know why, but it's like this very specific pleat that only really bustle dresses have. I've yet to come across it really amongst anything else historically, but that kind of, you take the fabric and you pick it up, and the way that it like hangs there, it looks like what essentially will be my pages that in my book. I just kind of repeated the pleat, the process, over and over again, so that it looks like a whole bunch of pages all at once. And in order to do that and get it to look like a life-size book, I actually had to custom print the fabric. That is fabric. People think it's actually paper. It's not. It's fabric. It's half. And again, my friend Haley helped me, because she's a graphic designer. She nailed the like lettering out, and we measured out the fabric so that it would line up, that each pleat would be a page. And we modeled it after the Harry Potter books, so that like the layout looked like that.
That is so awesome. Okay, so we're gonna have to, when we're gonna have to post a picture of this on our Facebook page, so that people can actually see what you're talking about in the pictures. Because
oh yeah,
that sounds so awesome.
I totally give you pictures. Yeah, and original. Okay, so because of copyright laws, so beware if you're ever trying to get something custom printed or whatever. Harry Potter and all that other stuff is copyrighted, so you can't actually do it. but especially since I needed like 60 yards of it. So theoretically, I could be building and selling stuff. So they didn't want to print it for me. So, but the original concept is awesome. And I totally sad that I couldn't do it, because the original concept was going to be actual Harry Potter like pages, like the story. And I was going to take one chapter from each of the books, so 7 chapters total, that was my favorite, and like they would be, so you can theoretically read a chapter from each book. I think it was the first chapter of like, you know, The Boy Who Lived, the first one, and then like one from each, and then the last chapter or something like that.
But it was from the last book.
Yeah.
So what did you end up doing?
Well, because of all the copyright laws, we took out, like, we were slowly, as I was talking to my printer, slowly taking out, like, we took out the, you know, the pictures at the top of the chapter headings. We took that out, and then we took out like some other thing. And so we ended up taking out the actual like the story, and used Scottish fairy tales, I believe, and just formatted it in the same like style as Harry Potter. And so there, that alone makes it look like actual Harry Potter pages, even though the actual print is Scottish fairy tales, which I also thought was appropriate, because
it's still an actual fairy tale. Like, you could still read a fairy tale in your dress.
Read like a chapter or two of fairy tales on my book.
That's so cool. I love that. Yeah, I'm going to go Google you now and look up all these pictures, because I'm so excited by it.
She's friends with me on Facebook.
Right. Okay. I'm going to go stock both of your pages. So our last big question we're asking everybody is, what do you have a twin experience or a twin story? Or I don't think I ever ran into you at University of Redlands. Usually Stacey and I like not play tricks, but we just wander around together and see if anybody notices. But
I don't think I realized you were a twin until Facebook, because I don't think there was ever the opportunity, like, I have a twin sister or something like that.
Yeah, it really doesn't come up in conversation. People are like, why didn't you tell me? And I'm like, well, I don't just like walk around saying, oh yeah, by the way, I have a twin, you know, like.
Yeah, you don't usually, people don't say, hey, I have a younger brother. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I was trying to think about this. I don't know if I personally have any kind of fun twin stories. I feel like there was one in my set in my elementary school, but they weren't my friends. One I feel like is cool. My roommate in college, the one that they kind of put you with in freshman year.
Yeah.
She was a twin. She was fraternal twins. Her and her other were twins. But funny enough, her mom had two sets of twins. They had two younger brothers, too, that were fraternal twins.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And it's one of those things that, like, runs in the family, because, like, fraternal twins do that.
Yeah.
So her mom only gave birth twice, have four kids, and went into labor once.
Wow. That is some pretty good odds on her part.
Yeah. But then she did have to raise two babies at a time each time. So,
yeah, there's that.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Tanya, so much for talking with us. You're our first person who's done costumes that we've talked to. So
cool. Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Yay. Then maybe, the next time you do a big thing, maybe next Comic-Con or something, we'll be like, ooh, what are you doing now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, if I do the Her Universe thing again, what crazy thing I'm inspired by and what crazy ass dress I'm making and driving myself insane with.
And then having it turn out great and all over the place at Comic-Con.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
Excellent.
So far you have a good track record.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so I think we're good for tonight. Thanks for stopping by and talking to us and break a leg on your upcoming shows. And
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Twins Talk Theater. If you would like more, please visit our website at twinstalktheater.podbean.com or on Facebook at Twins Talk Theater. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Play Music. Also, give us a review on iTunes and tell us what you liked about the show.